Yep. Ladies and gentlemen, today I'm very, very pleased to introduce you to one of the most wonderful people I've ever met in my life, Rocky Chevalier Sr. And we will be discussing many things, and I think that you will enjoy his insight into a world of things. And Rocky, would you like to introduce yourself?
My name is Rocky Chevalier. I run a couple of YouTube pages. One is with my name, Rocky Chevalier Senior Playlists, and it's called that because in the playlist section, you'll find many different playlists available. Whatever fits your kind of need, because I upload a lot of video on council meetings. That's primarily what I upload. But then there's other videos where I will go and record police or rant or whatever. But then the other YouTube channel is for FedEx and trucking specifically. So yeah.
Rocky, I got a several questions came in from a couple of viewers that are true believer Christians. Mm-hmm. And I let them know that you are the son of a preacher man. He still is a preacher man.
Yeah.
And you grew up in a religious family. And now what shocked them was when I told them that you were an atheist. And man, oh man, I got six pages of questions for you.
No problem there.
And they did some research. So we want to make sure that if you would tell us how you got to where you are now in your belief system and how it helps you be a better you, because you're you're one of the finest people I've ever met in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You're a true gentleman, and yet when you walk in, you announce your presence with authority, fastball under the chin if you were a pitcher, but I've seen you with supervisors and people that were in an elevated position compared to the two of us at the time, and you walk in and you take control of the situation, you announce what your needs are, you announce why you're there, and you announce when you'd like to leave. So I guess my question is how did you get to your belief system now as a 40-year-old man?
Well, it isn't like something happened to make that happen, necessarily, per se. What happens is, with this, I think, this psychology in general, when you try to force a position on somebody, there's going to be some level of pushback on that, whether it's vaccines or whether it's whatever it is, right? Ford versus Chevy. Anything. It could be minuscule as something like that, but there's people who die on that hill. So, one part of that is, I'm the second born. In psychology, you can easily learn that second born children are the most rebellion. So, one book that talks about that kind of thing is Dr. Kevin Lehman. It's called The Birth Order Book. And so the birth order book shows you a bunch of characteristics that you'll find amongst the oldest child, middle children, youngest child. The youngest child being the most clowny. Middle children being moderators and arguers, lawyers of that way, and oldest children are leaders. Not naturally, but somewhat forced upon them because they gotta tell the younger brother and younger sister for 18 years, stop it. So they make good leaders, good bosses, good presidents. Most presidents, if not all, were firstborn children. So that's one. I'm the secondborn child. So I'm a natural rebellier. So that's that. So for 18 years, growing up in a Baptist household, being told all the time that atheists are devil worshippers and evil and that kind of thing, and having religion pushed down my throat, well, I wanted evidence. Because I have difficulty with words. One is the word belief. What does that mean? In essence, what it should be recognized as is, it is a way of looking at something without fully understanding. In that way, you could say that I believe in God. But if you look at it through the lens of more scientific in a way, I want evidence before I believe, then I'm going to say I'm an atheist because I don't believe in God. And that's all atheism is. It's not anti-God, right? Agnostic would be a position that you would take by saying, I don't know if God is real or not.
Yeah, there's the question.
Yeah.
Where you're a firm believer there is no God until proves...
No.
No?
I'm not a firm believer. No. That is a massive misconception.
Okay.
Because it is not the atheist position that God is or is not real. It's just the atheist position is, I do not believe in that God that you speak of. That's all that is. It's no deeper than that.
Now, if someone came and gave you proof that there is a God, you would no longer be an atheist. Is that correct?
That's another difficult word to go with. You know what I mean? Because if say, let's take an example, for example. Let's say you have a friend, and his name is John. I've never seen John, right? It's no cost to me to believe whether or not John is even real, right? The value to me is your relationship with other people because of John, or the lack of because of John, right?
Right.
So it's not a problem, right? Believing that John is real because you talk about John all the time.
Uh-huh.
John is God in this scenario, right? Well, John could be real and John may not be real because you could legitimately be imagining John. You see, but see with God. In order to believe, you have to follow certain tenets, according to the Bible. Now, ironically enough, there's more than 1,500 denominations of Christianity in this country alone, which is astounding, astounding. But they all somehow believe in the same God, including Muslims,
right.
Same God. They just name him Allah, which means God. So it's all the same God, but I forget your original question, I was ranting.
No. You took me to a place I wanted you to.
Oh, you wanted if you could show me proof.
Yeah.
Okay.
Somebody comes.
Right.
And says, hey, here's God.
Yeah.
Like you did meet
like,
him.
Like John.
Yeah.
You brought me John.
Hey, here's John.
Yeah.
If now you're no longer an atheist, right? When somebody brings you proof, because that's what an atheist is, just waiting for proof.
Just waiting.
They're not saying, there's no God.
Right.
And it's not even possible. They're saying, prove it.
Yeah.
And
so let me answer that. So if you brought me John or brought me a proof of God, would I believe? Is that the question?
Yes.
The answer is no.
Huh. You still...
Now let me explain. I don't believe in things that are real. I don't believe your name is James Jones. I've seen your driver's license. I know it's James Jones. I don't believe it. I don't believe I'm sitting here right now on a podcast because it's real. It's presented to me as real. I don't believe in things that are real. You believe in things that are not real, aliens or Bigfoot, until it's presented to be real, then you're like, oh yeah, he's just right down the road.
Very good.
See,
I told you.
And see, my issue again was words and definitions. I'm a real fanatic with the words and definitions because the word belief is loaded as if to present it as real. And there's a difference between real and belief and truth. And I could go on about truth, but yeah.
Rocky, what amazed me is regardless of the country you were born into, you were born into the right religion.
That's ironic.
How about that?
Yeah.
You know, if here neighboring Pakistan and India, one Hindu, one Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
It just so happened they were born into the right. That's amazing.
How about people like my father, right? Right? He has got 13 brothers and sisters. They do not share the same denomination. That is hilarious to me. Me and my brothers do not share the same beliefs on almost anything, political or religion. We got the same parents.
Very good.
Or do we got the same parents? Because I argue we don't have the same parents. The same reason why you don't share the same mom and dad with your siblings. Because as a parent, I don't treat my oldest kid the same way I treat my youngest kid.
Exactly.
Different parents.
Yes. Absolutely.
And you got to break it down, otherwise it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and I love them all equally. No, you don't.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to...
Yeah.
One of them is just going to find a favor
in
you, be more like you, be more acceptable of you.
I wouldn't say the word favor because it singulars out a single way of viewing.
Okay.
It's a different kind of favorite. Yeah, I don't like pizza and beer equally the same. I like them differently the same. And it's a weird way of describing it, but it's not the same. It's just not.
Very good. Okay, Rocky, I want to come back to this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But right now, I want to tell you, the little girl, Greta Thunberg, kind of inspired me to think, here I am in my 60s, and, you know, how can I reduce my carbon footprint? And it took me a whole lot of different ways in that I know that I'm not the factory belching out all of that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not Burger King or whoever is grilling and sending that up. And I'm not raising 1,000 cows, you know?
Right.
If I did raise a cow, it would probably be 2 or 3, you know?
Right.
So that they would have company.
Yeah.
My point is that climate changes we've been through, it is now at a critical point, I believe, and I'll see it before my life finishes. Should I have a few more years left, I'll see that critical point where the Greenland iceberg will melt and fill our oceans. I think it'll happen in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Just seeing, you know, the way it's going right now.
Right.
I wanted to know your thoughts on our global crisis and what we can do about it. What, in your thoughts, what we as men, women, and children, how can we do things to make it better, in your viewpoint?
In my viewpoint would be, a lot of the conversation is whether or not it's real, it's happening, because a lot of people who deny it, right?
It's politicized.
And so in order to better understand their viewpoint is if you pay attention to the criticism. And it's important to pay attention to criticism of all kinds.
Mm-hmm.
And their criticism always ends in a question.
Mm-hmm.
So if you listen to their criticism, it's always a question. Well, if it's true, then what about this? Well, if it's true, then why did, was it Al Gore, someone had a snowball? Like, so? Let's admit there was a snowball. Still, you haven't criticized the 933 studies on climate change. Until you criticize those, because that's called science, and that's what we're supposed to do. Criticize the people who know the most, the ones who've done the studies. And they produce them all the time, Journal of Nature, whatever they call it.
National Geographic, The Atlantic, Guardian.
No, there's articles. I'm talking about formal studies. And if you want to do, like, if you want to jump in head first and go deep into the technicalities of that, you don't Google that. It's not available on Google. I don't know if you're aware of it, but you can go to, if you go to Google, for example, and you type in Google Scholar, and then you use that browser. Google Scholar is a browser for the people who are in the academic world. And Google Scholar, literally the name of it is Google Scholar, the search engine, and then you type in climate change. And then you can read legitimate scientific articles on any given subject, whether it's STDs or climate change or whatever it is. Go there, read, criticize that. Then you have a point. Until then, you just have got all this political fuss, and it's all this political fuss.
Have you been vaccinated?
Absolutely.
Okay. And now they politicized that and brought people into an uproar about it, because when Mrs. Harris, when they were trying to capture the presidency, someone asked her, will you take the vaccine? She said, not if Donald Trump's president.
Right.
Now, how could the vaccine be any different, whoever the president, but they made it right then.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're trying to make people think that they can force them to do something they don't want to do, and of course,
right,
they can't. People will not do what they don't want to do.
Right.
But
pay attention to what she says. That's called criticism. Not as long as Donald Trump's president. Which is not a no. It is not a no.
Right.
So which is it? Yes or no?
Okay. Well, I believe that the 80 million people, matter of fact, he's got more votes than any president in history, which amazes me.
Mm-hmm. Did you see where the Arizona just found out the final results?
Yeah, he won Arizona, didn't he?
By a larger number than what originally was posted.
See, I knew that Mr. Trump voted for him twice. I knew he was full of shit, but I like that he wasn't of the Washington, D.C. ill. But I know now that both Republican and Democrat, they represent a group of wealthy people.
Yeah, they're all corporatists.
That's nothing about us.
No.
And I don't think that we can break the chain and elevate one of us up there and not no longer. I mean, it's not possible.
Right.
It's always going to be somebody that is concerned about the 1%. Mr. Biden raised corporate taxes to 28%, up from the 17% that Trump had. But when Obama was president, corporate tax was 28%. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't know. They're being bought and sold right in front of our eyes, and they're committing crime right in front of our eyes on camera and getting away with it.
Yeah, absolutely, they're getting away with it.
They do more in front of us than behind our backs, but the story's always behind our back.
Yeah.
So that we don't have proof.
See, that's where media plays a role, because they control narrative. And so, remember earlier when I was talking about like belief and truth? Truth has its own little subject. Let me talk about truth for a minute, because truth is important.
Very good.
And I learned this doing my own media with Crooksville News, my own town, and my county news, Perry County Press. So when I go to council meetings, and I see the mayor, I see the council members, I see the solicitor and administrator, and I see the fiscal officer, and they're in the council meeting. Generally, I'm there either by myself or with the police chief, fire chief. It's nobody there. Nobody from the public is there. It's just me. 2,500 people in my town. I'm the only one that shows up.
I've seen.
Okay, and so let's talk about truth. Truth, no matter if you agree or disagree, truth is what the government says. So the government says the sky is purple. The sky is purple, right?
Right.
Dead serious. The First Amendment gives us the privilege, because it can always be taken away, gives us the privilege, that's where the word right goes back to privilege. That's where that comes from. So it's a privilege to have your First Amendment right. So if you have the First Amendment to criticize the truth. The reason why I call it the truth is because it is the truth. For an example, if I go on video here and I say James Jones is a massive murderer, I wouldn't trust him around nobody. Legally, you can sue me for defamation, because who controls the truth? The government. But the government says he's a convicted mass murderer. Then I can go on video and you can't sue me. That's truth.
Because
the government controls the truth. Now, with the truth being controlled by the government, right? The First Amendment allows the citizens to say whether or not the truth is right or wrong. Then we discuss what the truth is.
I have a couple of questions. We'll start out with that Amendment 1. Let's see. Congress shall make no law respecting religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievance. The First Amendment applies only to government actions, not behavior by private employers, private companies, or private non-government individuals unless they acted in concert with government actors. Here's the question. Are all the private hospitals, doctors, businesses over 101 employees, business owners that are following the mandates of President Biden, are they not following the First Amendment and can be charged with ignoring our First Amendment rights in a court of law? Can they be charged if they don't follow that mandate of forcing the people to be vaccinated?
That's difficult, because I don't know specifically how the Supreme Court has ruled the First Amendment and how it applies to private organizations like a hospital or whatever. But again, the truth is controlled by the government. So if the government says you can be sued by not enforcing your employees, then you can be sued, and you better enforce the rule.
And that is why so many have fallen in line, and our employees have to be vaccinated.
Right.
Do all the FedEx employees have to be vaccinated?
I'm not sure.
Okay. But
you, I wouldn't be surprised.
Right. And but you did it. You chose to follow the science. I wanted to be near people. I waited till June. I wanted to make sure all the old and the people that were, their health system was compromised. I wanted to make sure they got theirs.
Right.
And in June, I got both of mine, Pfizer, and from the Logan County Board of Health.
Right.
And so did I have an effect? The second shot, I didn't feel so good for a while.
Yeah.
Not sure.
I feel like shit the day after on both of them. I mean, I was down.
The first one, no effect at all.
Wow.
So I was kind of looking forward to the second one. You get this over with.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
I did not feel well a few minutes after I took it.
Hmm.
Yeah. Okay, Rock. Thank you so much. Hey, he's just going to be honest. He's going to tell you exactly what he does know.
I'm telling you, the truth is what controls.
Absolutely.
And again, you read the First Amendment, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Freedom to exercise your religion without any, right, pro or con?
Exactly.
Okay. Now, why can't we start a religion anytime after 1951?
I did not know that.
The government will not recognize it because you're considered a cult if you do. One exception. You want to hear the exception?
Yes.
It's hilarious. The exception is, forgot the name of it. It's the one that is primarily based in Southern California and...
Scientology.
Scientology. Scientology had gained enough growth with H.R. or Huber, whatever his name is, the guy who started it.
Uh-huh.
I forget his name. Uh-huh. And amongst the people who had joined Scientology were a lot of lawyers, a lot of active people. So they attacked the IRS immensely, overwhelmed them with letters, lawyer letters, lawsuits, you name it, until they folded. Once the IRS folded, they were recognized as a tax-free organization. That's the only exception since 1951.
Wow.
Explain that to me.
That's a lot of power.
And if you're not going to give religion any pros, why is In God We Trust on my money? Not government money. That's my money. Why is that?
Very good.
You don't respect all religions. Not all religions have a God. Yeah. So why is God on my money?
Very good.
And that didn't start until 53 or something?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's not been there for a long time.
I did not know that. Okay. So, hey, good. Well, I'm going to throw a religious question at you.
Oh, I love them.
What is the origin of life?
That's not a religious question. Religion tries to answer it. But... Let's say I know, right? Let's just say I know.
Okay.
It's still up to you to believe me. And let's say I don't know. We're in the same pocket. We're in the same position. So whether or not I know, explain to me why that's relevant. Because you have to believe it.
Uh-huh.
Unless you're going to conduct a study with me.
Uh-huh. And, you know, I have no idea.
Yeah.
And it doesn't bother me. I'm happy to exist even mm-hmm. if this is simulated.
Yeah. And so let me entertain my own opposition, okay? Because you have to look at both sides, right?
Uh-huh.
Let's say we find out that Earth was just this ball of nothing, was hit with a comet that had ice on it, and then the ice melted, and then organisms grown from that. You can still say God did that. So there's no answering that to get rid of God. My objective is not to get rid of the God belief. My objective is to get you to understand, everybody to understand, what your belief is. A belief is what you do when you don't know the answer. And that's what belief is. So just understand what you're doing. I'm not saying it's wrong to believe. Just understand the truth behind what you're doing. That's all it is. Like, I believe I'm going to be alive tomorrow. So I'm going to act in that behavior. That's why, also, why I'm not religious. Because if you're going to bring me a King James Version Bible, or the NIV, or the Jehovah's Witness Bible, I can show you where murder, eating the flesh of your own children, is in there. Jeremiah 19:9, eat the flesh of your daughter, eat the flesh of your son. Not the neighbors, not because they're evil, because God ordered it. So don't tell me you get your morals from God, because your description of God is written in this book that's called the Holy Bible, that has 66 books in it, and they're not very pleasant. Just open up Deuteronomy.
Do you live according to what you believe? I believe you just answered that.
No.
You don't?
No.
Oh, elaborate.
I've got different standards. I'm a hypocrite just like anybody else. Yeah. I don't think I can name anything specifically. Because I believe I do a good job. Believe. Do I know that? No, because I can't think of anywhere I don't. But that's just probably the ego or whatever protecting myself. I know I screw up. But how? It's not something we pay attention to. We don't criticize ourselves enough. And I'm guilty of that as well.
Hey,
I've yelled at my kids. I've struck my kids. You know, I've learned not to do that and instead sit down and talk. But, I'm human.
Well, I'll tell you this, and what I do know about you, you do a good job in everything you do. You just deep dive, focused, like no one I've ever met, and I love it. Okay, this is a question you kind of touched on. There wasn't a certain time when you chose your belief. There wasn't.
Or the lack thereof, yeah.
Or the lack of, yeah. But there was no certain moment, some moment of enlightenment, hey, this is not true. This right. is not. There was no certain moment.
I can tell you it was probably 2007. If there's going to be a time, I'm going to choose 2007.
Now, was this when you were shot?
No.
Okay.
You may go through that story?
Yes, please.
I wasn't shot. I was just shot at.
Okay.
Okay. In 2006, I started driving a truck. September 11th, ironically enough, was my first day behind the wheel. My brother, ironically enough, was 1 year later, but regardless, right? So I started driving a truck in 2006, September 11th. My children's birthdays, including my wife, all five fall within a 45-day period, roughly, something like that. So, and August hits, so we celebrate at the time. They were, let's see, 2006. Yeah, it was 2006. I had three kids at the time, I believe, because Redden was born. I mean, he may have been just been born. Anyway, they're all that same little timer, August, October kind of thing. So at the time, they're so little, we just had all the birthdays at the same time, so we invite family over. And at the time, I didn't have any disagreements with my family. My aunts, uncles, dad, whatnot, you know. So they all came over. Well, my most adamant religious family member at the time was, and still is, my dad and my Aunt Kathy. So when we go to cut the cake, my aunt says, well, aren't you going to pray? I said, no. She said, oh, don't you believe in God? And I said, no. I didn't think it was a big deal.
Was that the first time that you said it, announced to your family?
Yeah. And they're all there at my house. Every one of them. Well, she blew that like a Karen, like out of proportion. You know what I mean? Like it's, what is it to you, right? But anyway, so that ended very badly. The kids.
Birthday and
like
a family trying not gathering.
Trying to be selfish here. We're here for the kids.
Uh-huh.
Allow them to have their day and then criticize me if you want to. So then my dad shows up. My aunt goes over to my dad. Oh, your boy's an atheist. And honestly, at the time, I really didn't know what an atheist even was. Because between the ages of like, you know, 18 to 25, religion wasn't even part of my psyche. You know what I mean? Because I grew up, moved out of the house, whatever. So that happened. And it was a mess. I wish that day never existed. Because my family just could not handle me not believing in God. How dare you? Since then, 2007 comes around, and my dad had already given me a Bible to hit the road with. So I still have that Bible. King James, my dad signed it. King James Version Bible. 2007 hits, and the threats, and the phone calls, and the threats, which is just unreal.
From family.
From family, specifically my family. So 2007 hits, I'm like, I have to better understand what I'm dealing with. So I read the Bible. Not the entire thing. My main course of study for me, from 2007 to 2013, I lived religion. I lived every minute. In that truck, I listened to podcasts specifically about religion. specifically about religion all the time. When I wasn't driving, I was reading that book. And I read specifically Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. That was my main. And then, I forget the fifth book of the Old Testament there. Anyway, that was my first, the first four was like the main course of study. And I figured, well, if I'm ever going to talk to my dad, I'm going to have to study this for 10 years because he's a smart man. Turns out, not that smart. Right? He wasn't. I thought preachers like just knew the Bible. They don't. They're like car salesmen. They'll tell you all the good parts. They won't tell you the bad parts. And then you're going to buy a hunk of junk. It's up to you to be educated to go into that car salesman to find out what's wrong. Why is the tire missing lug nut? Why has it got a missing stud? Why is this? Why is that? Why does the oil have a bit of a water look to it? Why? So it's up to you to be educated in order to approach the topic. So 2007 hits, and it got ugly in 2008. I mean ugly. And it's primarily my own fault, but in a way, is it? But anyway, I'll take the blame for it, no problem.
But you were just sharing what you had learned.
I just did. So what I did was I started a Facebook page back then, and the name of it was King James Version Bible is Evil. Call it a judgment call, that's fine. Right? So, I ended up getting like 1,000 followers pretty quick, and that's pretty good size numbers back in those days. And all I never posted my opinion. Not one time did I post my opinion. I just posted Bible verses. And I quoted the verse where it says, kill kids, kill this person, murder that person. All this murder. Murder, mayhem, right? That's all I did. But my name associated with it, so people knew who I was. And they just, how dare you? You're taking it out of context. But not one person would sit down like this and talk to him except for my own father. And that's it. That's the only person that had a level head throughout all this stuff.
But he really wanted to know how his son came to believe the
way. He didn't care. He didn't care.
Well, he sat down one-on-one and he questioned. And, you know, why do you think this way, Rocky?
No, didn't care. I'm telling you, he did not care. What he cared about was, I'm not sure exactly what he cared about, because there's 18 years of my childhood being forced in this stuff. It was rough. And I don't hate my dad. I love my dad. He calls me up. I'm going there today. Help him out. But because of those 18 years of what I consider torture, I returned a favor. So any chance I had, I'd go to Dad's house. And I would sit there and argue for 3-4 hours every day. Every day I could. And I would argue about everything I could. But it took me 3 years instead of 10. Because those 3 years, I had enough information to where I could question. My first question, and I still stand as today, Genesis chapter 4 and 5. Easiest thing to attack. And since then, my dad has gotten rid of Genesis out of his belief system. And my first question to my dad, and to anybody who wants to answer this question, the world was just created. You could argue nothing was on this world before it was created. And I think that's a fair understanding, right?
God, first there's nothing.
Yeah, first there's nothing. Chapter 4 hits. God creates Adam from the dirt. Is it fair to say that no one else is existing at that very moment of the creation of Adam? I think it's fair to say no one else exists. If that's true,
yeah.
If that's true,
following this story,
take the rib from Adam, make Eve. Okay? I'm going to repeat this question. Is it fair to say that there's no one else on the planet except for Adam and Eve?
Just those two.
Just
yes.
Those two. Let's fast forward just a smidge. Chapter 5. Adam and Eve have 3 kids, 3 boys, 3 sons. Cain kills Abel. Cain and Seth move away and get remarried. Chapter 5. Who'd they get married to?
Yes, nobody else existed.
Now, I have talked to Bible scholars, legitimate, intelligent, not intelligent, educated. Another word I struggle with, educated. Doesn't mean you're smart, doesn't mean you're educated. And my explanation there, that was told to me, was women were not important enough to be spoken about in the Bible. And that's who they got married to, was unspoken females. But where do they come from? I don't know. I asked my dad that question. He lied the first time. And his lie was, they got married to a different tribe. I said, who's the god of that tribe? Since then, yeah, we've been attacked. I've hired security guards to help my kids go from my house to the school bus stop. The amount of security I have spent, wish I could get that refund, you know, because we had bought security cameras in 2008. Security cameras for the house in 2008. Expensive to do such a thing. But what choice do we have? I had Nazi symbols sprayed on my property, on my shed. I've got more than 200 bullet holes in the back of my house, still there today. You're welcome to come down and look at those motherfuckers anytime. I don't mean to curse a lot, but you're welcome to. I mean, they're there. And I've been attacked. I lost my third house to a fire that was created by somebody in the family. I 1 year before that, I got a phone call and I was hundreds of miles from home. I might actually cry on this one. It was rough. Got a phone call. I don't know who it was. Still don't know who it is. Have an idea, but don't know. Guy says, I'm gonna go to your house.
Take your time, Brock.
I'm gonna go to your house. I'm gonna burn it down. I don't wanna sit there and watch your kids burning the flames. They don't deserve to live. They're better off dead than to have a father as an atheist.
Wow.
Hung the phone up.
And this is a believer.
I can't say they're not a believer because God can, you know, allows murder.
They're offended by your lack of belief, so this is a...
Well, they're offended because of my King James Version Bible is evil Facebook. My First Amendment right to express what I think about, or not like my thoughts. It was posts, verses from the Bible, you know. Whew, that was a hard pill to swallow. So immediately I make a police report. I made many, which adds up to fucking nothing, you know, because they don't do nothing about it. They respond to a crime. They come after the crime. You know what I mean? That's what
right.
Cops do. They can't just, oh, someone threatened you, then we'll go, you know what I mean? So that happened in 2013 or something, 14, 13, because that's when I deleted the Facebook page. It had gotten so bad to that point with gunshots and knives and people coming out with ball bats just pounded on the side of my house, waking us up. It was ugly. And so, my own family. So, and then there was other people. I didn't know the other people. But anyway, that happens. 2013, my wife supported me up until that point. We can't have that kind of stuff. We can't.
Well, sure.
You know? And I'm like,
she was scared to death.
I'll delete the Facebook page. I'll call it an end. Delete the Facebook page. Get another phone call, almost exactly 1 year later. I'm gonna burn your house down. I'm gonna make sure everybody's dead before I leave. Again, I'm hundreds of miles away. I'm not team driving, I'm soloing. It's gonna take me 2 days to get home. I can't defend my own family. Thankfully, nothing happened again. 2015, it happened. March 17th, St. Patty's Day. I'm home on St. Patty's Day. Thank goodness I was home. So I'm home. And, so, my houses, my primary house, my second house, my third house, is all neighboring each other. We're right next to each other, okay? My fourth house is across the highway, half mile away. So, my wife and I are preparing to go out for St. Patty's Day. Because we have friends, we go for St. Patty's Day. You know, wear green, dance, act silly. So we're getting ready, getting dressed up. So my nephew showed up, and he says that his bike tire is flat. Look, okay, we'll go to the other house, because the other house is more like at the time it was a man cave, and then in the basement it was like a air pump, a little garagey, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. So we go in the basement, and I air up his tire. As I'm exiting the basement onto the main street, two cars had been sitting there. This is a glance, I'm like, okay. So, enjoy your day, Timmy. and Timmy never got a chance to leave, and these people jumped out of the car, running at us, get out of here, leave, quickly, go, the house is already in fucking flames. I was in a basement, I'm under, you know what I mean?
While it's on fire.
There's, smoke goes up. I have a massive injury to where I can't smell, very rarely I can smell anything. And so we're in the basement, we had no indicator there was a fire, we didn't hear nothing, we didn't smell nothing. So we exit and the people will come up and leave the house on fire. So, leave. Well, I told him to get on down the road or whatever, so, because I'll do what I can to take care of the fire. I thought I could handle it. So I go around the house to the where the ground level is because it's on the hillside, whatever. So I try to enter the house from the main door. And it was just, you couldn't see your freaking nose if you wanted to, it was so thick. But you could tell it wasn't, fully engulfed kind of thing. It was just mostly smoke from the futon that was on fire. I later found out. So I tried to go in there a few times and it was just absolute failure. I didn't realize how bad smoke was. Get back outside and my wife at that time, she's there and like calling 911, this is crazy. So they finally showed up and they didn't have a determination how it started. And I thought that they would, you know, not that it would help me. Either way, I got insurance, you know what I mean, thankfully. Uh-huh. So the neighbor, she said that she had seen someone leave the house upstairs and go running. So we have that police report, which, again, didn't help us because there was no identification. So then, you know, a month later, the insurance guy comes down and we settle for $54,000, I think it was something like that, $54,000. Don't get me wrong, we made out financially, except for the things that we lost that can't be replaced because it was my main cave. I mean, it was things that, you know, sentimental value, money would never replace.
Exactly.
So, but financially we made out great because we even bought the house for $5,000 on a sheriff auction anyway, you know what I mean? And we just bought it a couple years before that because it was one of the houses that were lost during that recession of the housing market, kind of, you know. So, financially we made out. But then we still got to do the cleanup and all the other stuff. So that was the last thing that's actually physically happened to us or the properties in regards to the religious threats. Since then, I'm cautious to talk about it because I know my family. I know them well. And when, you know, when the media or someone talks about ISIS or the Taliban or you name the terrorist organization, I know these people. I know them well. They're my family.
Wow.
And that's the only difference is you change the religions.
And if you...
And I know how serious they are, too. They will die on that.
Yeah, you know your blood. I mean, you know better than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But since then, I've spoken to, in friendly terms, my very aunt that this all started. No, but twice, probably in the last 15 years. And I've gotten support from some of my uncles since then. But at the time, I'm telling you, we were alone. And I mean alone. Because even her family was toxic. Not with religion, they never cared about that. But they just didn't like me, period.
Well, somebody developed a conscience because of that fire. You know, somebody was like, oh my goodness, they could have lost you.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of how upset they are with how you believe.
Yeah.
Or what you think. The thought of losing someone, even if you know you've been very upset with them,
right?
You know, it's like, well, I don't want to lose him. Won't have anything to be angry at.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm thinking that was more of a message than it was, you know, me. But
because you received the phone calls when you're far away, nothing can be worse.
No, you are helpless.
You're on the other side of the country.
Yeah,
and
I mean, well. You have to tell your wife. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. And so she said, Rocky, we got it. So you brought down that Facebook.
Yeah, I deleted it.
Uh-huh. Very good.
Had to. Uh-huh. Again, never posted my opinion. Uh-huh. Not once ever. Never cared to.
Uh-huh.
I'm not defending anything. I'm just telling you what you believe.
Wow.
If you believe the Bible is the Word of God and it is good and you follow it. That's three big things. If that all fits you, then why are you offended?
Yeah, you I should just, be in a state of zen. You yeah. should, I'm happy with what I believe, so nothing anyone else should it shouldn't offend you. Absolutely.
Yeah. If you tell me, hey, Rocky, you got no teeth. Call me Gumby. Okay, I agree with you. And that's what upsets a lot of people. I've been in a lot of arguments, and what upsets people the most, what I found was, is when you agree with them. It's astounding to me. I've got recorded phone calls. Even I posted one on TikTok, one on YouTube, where a guy called me up because he seen that video where I gave a cop middle finger. And he just couldn't get over the fact that how disrespectful that was. And why would you do that? And I mean, you better let me talk. But, like,
Rocky, I was in the truck when you did it, and I was shocked. I mean, you don't know what an eye-opener that was for me in that I started seeing that they work for us. We're paying, you know, you don't, you look like, you know, you have to follow their direction, and well, it takes away all human.
Right, you need to understand what the truth is. Again, truth is what the government says it is. And the government says this person here with the badge and the gun and the race car, right? That's their job is to law enforcement officer. You're an officer of the government, you're an agent of the government, and your job is to enforce what? The law, not your feelings, right? So as long as you don't disobey the law, you should have almost no interaction with them, right?
Uh-huh.
But when you do, understand, it's your employee. It doesn't make you elevated necessarily, right? But it's just understanding what the truth is. That's all that is. I don't hate cops.
No.
Here's another thing I need to clarify. People misunderstand what I do for hate, right? Hate is what you express when you don't understand something, okay? I hate James Jones, that son of a bitch, right? That's hate. Never take hate as offensive language. Because it has no meaning. The reason why it has no meaning, because there's no love behind it. For an example, if I criticize you, that means I love you and I'm paying attention to you, right? If I criticize the Bible, it's because I want it to be better. I'm making it better. I'm criticizing it. You criticize your children, be a better person, don't talk to your mom that way. If you hate, you son of a bitch, you motherfucker, what are you doing? That's hate. Criticize to make me better. Criticize to make God better. Criticize to make government better. You criticize. You don't hate. Stop hate. That's all it is. Criticism is love. It's just in a box where it seems like someone hates you. But understanding the difference in language between hate and criticism is something that is needs to be understood. Yeah.
And I found out over the years that when I've had ill feelings towards someone because maybe criticism, maybe just they'd let me know that they really did not like me,
mm-hmm.
that if I dwell on that, I'm allowing them into me. I'm allowing them their...
Yeah, you're validating their hate.
And so I don't take it...
It's not personal. Hatred is never personal. Yeah. They can make
them.
It personal, but...
They're feeling it. It may give them cancer for hating me.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
But, yeah, and just don't allow them to get in you.
Right. And see, and that's what happened with me in religion, is they were hating, I was telling them what they believed, and I was just criticizing. You know, hey, guess what? You believe this? It's kind of weird. You're against homosexuals? It's twice in the Bible, man can't marry with another man. Twice. That's an abomination. Twice. Nine times says you can't eat shrimp. I mean, it says, selfish. Yeah. You know what I mean? But not specifically shrimp, but shrimp is a selfish.
But going back to Seth and Cain,
yeah.
I only see two men there.
Yeah. I mean, you got Adam, and they're going to marry each other in incest, and that's not going to work out well. They didn't work out with the royal family. They're the 14th and 15th century. I mean, what do you get, like four generations and you all die off? I mean, it's not a...
Yeah.
You can't start a planet that way, as far as I understand, without intervention from God. I mean...
Okay, Rock, let me throw another one at you. Oh, Is there a heaven? Is there a hell? That's her question.
Well, again, words and definitions. You got to give me, you can say, well, generically, you know, is there a hell or heaven? You can say generically, and I'll try and attempt. But my question is, what defined heaven and hell? You know what I mean? I don't know.
And each one of us has a picture of what it would be like, both of them, what it would be like.
Yeah.
You know, immediately I picture fire, immediately I picture blue skies.
Right.
You know?
And you could argue that heaven and hell are the same place. You know what I mean? Because one man's trash, another man's treasure, yeah, right?
Very good.
Because heaven, in the sense of the Christian viewpoint where you're with God and the angels, as it were, to me, that would be hell. It really genuinely would, because I don't do well with authority all the time, and I don't like routine. I like a little bit of chaos sometimes, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. I don't want to know what you're about to say. Uh-huh. That's boring to me, you know what I mean? At the same time, do I want to burn forever and feel that?
No.
Like, no, but there's freedom and liberty. So, you know?
It's your right to choose.
I mean, it's, and again, okay, here's a concept. Swallow this one, everybody. I would argue, let's say God's real. Okay, let me give that. I'll say God's real. I'll say the devil is real. Answer me this. Riddle me this, you know? The term, good and evil, good and bad, right? Is based on the concept of its own opposition, right? For example, I'm drinking this tropical punch. It's a lemonade flavor, whatever, it's a tropical punch. Anyway, I'm drinking this. I can say this is good. I can say that it is bad, right? But if it's the only liquid on the planet, I can't say that. There's nothing to compare it to. It is good compared to antifreeze, right? It's bad compared to I enjoy smart water, right? Okay. The point of that is to point out that everything has some semblance of good and some semblance of bad. There's no pure good or pure bad. It's impossible in my viewpoint. Another way to express that is, one of the figures that we all know that is viewed by everybody that I've met who is bad or evil would be Hitler. Okay? I've never met anybody who argued that Hitler was a good guy, except me. I am not pro-Hitler. Understand that, number one. Number two, Hitler was a great guy, wonderful person. He has no record of him abusing anybody around him, his wife, girlfriends, or anybody. Not a dangerous man to anybody, right? He just simply had a viewpoint of hating Jews and black people. Are you your thoughts? No, you're not. You are the person who acts. If you don't act on those thoughts, what's wrong with that? Like, you and I can have a discussion on how I should murder my ex-wife. I don't have an ex-wife. Well, let's just say for argument, right? We can ponder it, but until I do it, I'm not a bad guy. I just got some fucked up thoughts. Right?
And even the guy that goes into the theater and guns down all those people, yeah, like in Aurora,
yeah,
Colorado, he had voices in his head. We all have voices in our heads,
mm-hmm,
but we just don't all act on them.
Right.
Do I think about killing people? Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't act on
them. Yeah, we all do. But we don't act on them. But once you do the action, okay, you're done. You're not a good person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you
did an evil act.
Right. Now, that isn't to say that you don't have any good in you.
Right.
I'm sure you used your turn signal on the way there to murder them. You know what I mean? You know, there's something good. Like, there's some subjects I can't talk about because of YouTube's terms and conditions, but because I like to bring up the most extreme examples of the good and evil, you know? But let's just say, I'll try to water this down some. Let's just say you abuse children and you enjoy it, right? Scum of the earth. But when you're around your friends, You pay for dinner. You treat them with respect. So which are you? Are you good or evil? Well, you're not. You're both.
Yes.
And so I would argue, when it comes to heaven and hell, that where is the evil at in heaven that balances out what is? Not antifreeze. And where is the good at in hell that makes it evil? Because there must be
something to compare.
Like Taoism, right? Is the known to be like a Chinese religion where the yin-yang is the symbol of Taoism. And that represents the dynamic between good and evil. That's why there's a white dot and the black portion and a black dot.
And it's 50-50. Right. 50.
Yeah. And there's a dot in one, there's a dot in the other with the opposite color. Which means that there's good and evil in every dynamic. There's no pure good, there's no pure evil. An action can have a pure good or pure evil, right? But when you broaden that to a lifetime or broaden that to heaven or whatever, there's no such thing as a pure good.
Absolutely.
So that's my view. That's my view on why it can't exist. If your argument is that it's all good or whatever, it can't be.
Very good. Very good. Oh, what if you were wrong?
I'm wrong every day. I don't know.
It won't bother you.
I'm not going to somewhere that's all evil, so I'm pretty good there.
This question might be below you, but do morals and values arise from the material stuff of the universe?
Material stuff.
Yeah, morals and values.
You could argue that I'm a material stuff because I'm stardust over generations evolved into a living organism. So I guess, maybe? I don't know.
Well, I think as men, as mankind grew, we were like, well, let's be nice to each other so we can live together. And so I think that's where the first morality was, in that you have to be nice to your neighbor to a certain point.
I don't know if I agree.
Oh.
And I'll tell you that I think morals and ethics comes from our own individual experiences with the most important thing on the planet. And I'll argue the most important thing on the planet is information, which you could talk about in a more modern way with internet and Facebook and all the information that they gather on us, right? Information will force you to murder me. It will force me to murder you, given the proper information. So information will dictate our behavior, right? So if you find out, for example, and I've had to give this argument to my father, if you find out, for example, I pushed an old elderly man down the stairs and crippled him, he died, whatever. Most people are going to see that and be like, oh, that son of a bitch, Rocky. Why did he do that for? Right?
Right.
But if the information never provided to you that he was up the stairs fondling my children, you would always look at me and go, that son of a bitch, Rocky. But if you don't have all the information, then you can't justify murder. Murder is not wrong. It is not. What is the information not given to the person to make a proper assessment is wrong. That's what's wrong. And you never know the truth until the government says it. And you never know what's right unless you're there to witness it.
Absolutely. Very good, very good. And way to simplify a difficult...
Always. No, it took years, I'm telling you.
Oh, how does purpose itself arise in a purposeless universe? And here she's talking about your universe, being an atheist, there's no God, so it's purposeless. Well, I don't think she's looking in the right direction here, because I know you have purpose and I know you believe in purpose, but how does purpose itself arise in a purposeless universe? So she's looking at your universe as purposeless because you're an atheist.
So do I have to create purpose, or does it not exist in the first place? Because if it doesn't exist in the first place, how could it be created? I think purpose is created by our individual situations, right? For some people, their purpose is to put on a strap on a vest and blow up. That's their purpose. Other people is to do comedy, make people laugh. Other people, to do medical procedures to make your family happy and to make you happy. I mean, what's purpose? I don't know. depends. It's for everybody, it's different. No two people have the same viewpoint on that right there. The same way that no two people share the same thoughts about the Bible.
Okay, now this is from the Christian friend again. Are you absolutely sure? Now this is after I announced that you were an atheist. Are you absolutely sure there is no God? If not, then is it not possible that there is a God?
Remember the information? Give me information to say that he is real, then I'll go along with it. But what was the question again specifically?
Are you absolutely sure there is no God?
Listen, this is a set of plastic sunglasses. I am not 100% sure I'm even holding them right now. I am not. I'm dead serious.
This whole thing could be simulated, right?
Yeah. When you break down the you break down atoms and protons, science says you don't even touch when you do this. This is not contact. That's not contact. You can't touch. Anything can't be touched. Because when you break it down, you never come in contact. You feel it. Right? The feeling is not real. I could feel like these words coming from this guy over here is real. But is that guy real? Or is it not real? I'm not saying I know. I'm just telling you.
I'm pretty sure we're all simulated.
Yeah. I'm not sure of anything.
Oh, now this is, again, it has to do with creativity, I think. Would you agree that intelligently designed things call for an intelligent designer of them?
This is hilarious. I got a good one for you. When this question is posed, it's loaded because the only examples you can give me are things that we know are intelligently designed. But the things that are not, quote unquote, intelligently designed, we can't design them. Have you ever heard of a contractor that built a tree? Have you ever heard of a contractor that built a rock? How do you make water? Yeah, make water. So when you want to tell me that I need to have like an explanation for intelligent design, don't name something that we know was intelligently designed.
Very good.
Because the things that we can't design are things that are not intelligently designed. So, but let me entertain the argument, right? So, read the question again.
Okay. Would you agree that, and I'm going to read part two of it too.
Sure, yeah.
Would you agree that intelligently designed things call for an intelligent designer of them? If so, and you did not, if so, this is part two, then would you agree that evidence for intelligent design in the universe would be evidence for a designer of the universe?
Well, I would go back to my original statement. Intelligent designed is defined by an intelligent designer. Right? So I would say yes. But show me that thing that's intelligent, not intelligent designed, to explain how that was put there. But again, intelligent designed calls for an intelligent designer. Not necessarily. Because some dummies do create cool stuff.
You know it. Absolutely.
No, I don't mean dummies derogatorily.
But yeah. Accidentally.
Yeah.
Accidentally.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
I don't think any smart man ever sat down and said, I'm going to make me a pair of shoes. No, he put some leather socks on and he said, I need to make these better one day.
I'm not going to, this is below you. I'm not even going to ask.
There's nothing below me.
Would you agree with me, this is her, not me.
Yeah.
Would you agree with me that just because we cannot see something with our eyes, such as our mind, gravity, magnetism, the wind, that does not mean it doesn't exist. That's below you.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean pro or con.
Yeah. So this is where they were going. Would you also agree that just because we cannot see God with our eyes does not necessarily mean he doesn't exist? You're not sane.
Oh, I wouldn't expect it in the first place. I don't see climate change if I live in a hotel my entire life, but I could reason based on information, right? That's provided to me. But with the understanding that I'll never have all the information, you know what I mean? But with the information provided, I could argue, yeah, ABC is happening, therefore, maybe we should do something about it. Yeah. That's why, let me give you an example with psychology, because psychology is fascinating to me. So it's a subject that I dive into, right? So the reason why we diagnose somebody as schizophrenic or bipolar or whatever, right, is so that we have a method to deal with that problem. So first off is recognizing the problem, labeling it so that you categorize it. Much like if AA, okay, my name's Rocky, I'm an alcoholic, that kind of thing. So recognizing it, naming it, and then finding a way of treating it in the same way. Yeah.
Funny that you mentioned AA when it definitely came from Christianity in the 12 steps, mm-hmm. which can apply to so many different things.
Oh, yeah. I've gone to AA meetings just out of curiosity because I don't have any types of drug or alcohol.
I know that.
Even in my family, I don't have that. So, uh-huh. Yeah.
But those 12 steps can apply to most anything.
Yeah.
That's what I've...
And what 12 steps is great at is breaking things down so that we could... Because a lot of people who attend those, and I don't know the numbers, but a lot of people who attend those will have like an ADD type of either vibe or the full-blown. And so if you tell someone with ADD, I need you to go start the car, right? Well, an ADD person that's legitimately ADD, they don't understand that concept. They're going to screw it up because they need you to say, go put your shoes on, open the door, go outside where the car's at, unlock it, start the car, come back inside. An example of that is, any parent will know, when you have a 12-year-old child, use soap and water when you're in the shower, and then dry off with a towel. You can't just say, go get a shower, because they won't do it. Uh-huh. Yeah, you need to break that down. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what 12 steps also great.
Very good. And Rock, while we just cruise through the AA, some of the brightest people in the world are addicted,
mm-hmm.
have an addiction. I mean, I guess the whole damn planet, all of us are addicted to sugar, a certain amount of salt. You know, we have an innate cravement for that. So, but yeah, some of the brightest people in the world suffer terribly from addiction,
right?
Sex, drugs, whatever.
Yeah, porn, you name it. Yeah.
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 If it takes an intelligent being to produce an encyclopedia, then would it not also take an intelligent being to produce the equivalent of 1,000 sets of an encyclopedia full of information in the first one-celled animal?
I don't know. You have to define being in that sense.
Oh, even atheists such as Richard Dawkins acknowledge that amoebas have as much information in their DNA as 1,000 Encyclopedia Britannicas. Okay, yeah, I'm not.
That's a different type of information.
Yeah,
that's not the same information.
Yeah,
you can know. You can be completely fluent in Spanish, and I can be fluent in English, right? But that doesn't mean we have the same amount of knowledge and words. Because it's not the same thing.
Yeah.
The information is totally different. You're comparing
apples and oranges.
Yeah, it's a different. It's a different thing. Yeah.
Okay, Rock. I'm sorry. I'm taking too much time here.
No, you're fine.
Okay. Oh, transgender.
Yeah.
First of all, I would like to say that I don't think if you were born a male, you should be able to compete in a physical competition against females. I'd look at you the same as a woman beater. I mean, you know, because you were born with the testosterone and the skeletal frame that is so much denser than the females because she was designed for something else, by chance. And I'm happy about that. Where and why now after all these years, and this is me, this isn't this, why now? All the confusion. Gotta have a special restroom. Where I think it, if I have a penis, I want to use a urinal, and I understand that female, but a transgender, regardless of which way they went, why the special restroom, you know? And there have been cases reported of men dressed like women going into women's restroom and raping women, and or physically, you know, taking the purse and, you know. We're born a certain way. That transgender person that later identifies as a transgender, it doesn't happen, you know. Matter of fact, if I could go back, I would have definitely suggested that everyone raise their children gay so you can get past that. You're gay. Now go to bed, go to your gay bed, and go to bed to get past that. Because some of these prejudices that we have now, they were born a long time ago in a different world by different men. Go ahead.
I would argue that prejudices are natural to all humans.
Absolutely.
And the reason why that is to protect your tribe. See, anything that's different, that's normally in your tribe, is a threat.
Absolutely.
No matter, it could be race, it could be a behavior, it could be anything, yeah.
And we have to be, prejudice is prejudging. It's like, you know, I don't have all the information, so I have to assume
information, this. Information, again, it's all about information.
I remember in the 80s, going into the mall, and this was the cocaine 80s, and I remember we had to worry if that teenager had a gun. And, you know, if he bumped up against you, perhaps you should say, I'm sorry. Because he may have a gun. And that was the real and true situation. And so...
Is that where you grew up at in Florida?
No.
Oh, okay.
Always around the big cities. You know, even though grew up on a farm, always around the big cities. Always... as a young adult in the 80s, I was born in 58. I remember going into... Well, in this town here, and like there was many, and also spent a lot of time in Chicago. They all had guns. All those kids had guns. It was like the birth of the gangs and the East West, the red and the blue, you know. And they all had guns, and they probably do now. It's just like, okay, I'm more relaxed about it,
right?
But, you know, the news was, and they still are bombing us.
And you can see how that has become normal to a degree, to where it's part of a subculture in that area.
Yeah.
Because the government says this isn't allowed, cocaine, drugs, which should all be legalized, meth, everything should be legalized.
Absolutely.
And that way you can regulate it. The problem is regulation. You can't regulate things that are illegal. It can't be done. So if you legalize it, at least you can regulate it, right?
Right.
So... For example, $15, we could go down to the store and buy a big old bottle of Jack. I could drink it by myself and be dead. That's legal. I can overdose on Jack. Absolutely. I can go down to the store for $5, buy a gallon of bleach. I can do that. But yet you're going to tell me I can't do meth?
Right.
I can't do heroin? I could get my penis tattooed. I can get it pierced. I can get a race car on a dirt track. I can climb rocks. Cliffs, thousands of feet. It's not illegal not to have a harness or a rope. Not illegal. I can do that, but I can't do heroin? It's my body, my choice. I don't understand it.
Very good.
It's called liberty. And if you want to fight stupidity, information. Give me the information. Oh, it's dangerous to do that? Oh, okay. How much heroin should I have? You think your local drug dealer, not regulated, is going to tell you the dosage or what's in it?
Exactly.
That's the alcohol. That's the problem with the alcohol in prohibition. There's no regulation. So that means one cup of alcohol could have 15%. One cup could have 5%. Without the information, you will be the victim of that death when you consume the product. So we need information to fight things that are maybe not advised.
And see, with drugs being illegal, you have to count on your certain friendships that you've collected. Hey, don't take his shit because it'll kill you, you know.
And it allows children to buy it from adults because they're not carding the children.
Exactly.
And if, and it, so let's say it is regulated and your child goes down to the local establishment, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, you can sue that establishment for selling your child, you know, heroin. You can't sue your local drug dealer now.
Uh-huh.
You imagine? That's hilarious. Meanwhile, people die every day. What, 92 people die of overdoses every day? That could be, it can't be stopped, right? But it could be dramatically reduced. Just pay attention to the gun argument, right? Pro-Second Amendment. I'm pro-Second Amendment, right? NRA is an educational source that tells you what you should know so that you could inform yourself, arm yourself with the information so that you could properly and responsibly use your Second Amendment, right? So if you just go grab a gun without having the proper information, well, the bullet goes in here and it comes out there by doing this mechanism. If you don't understand how the mechanism works, just like a car, you will wreck yourself.
And people shoot themselves all the time.
It happens all the time.
Okay, Rocky, should transgender be made to use restrooms, locker rooms of their born identity? That would be in our schools, you know.
I can't say definitively, okay? But, so don't hold me to this necessarily because information could change because there's things we need to know before we decide on such a thing, right? If you're going to talk about someone who shouldn't be around another someone, you need to understand the demographic and the risks involved, right? So if the risks are higher than that we're willing to take, the answer would be no. But you have to ask why. Are you trying to avoid creeps and violence? The answer is probably yes. Okay? So the question would change. Is that going to stop creeps and violence? Is a sign saying women only going to stop creeps and violence? Now, let's say it does, which is, that's hilarious. Great, we should put women everywhere, right? But let's say that signs don't prevent people from carrying guns into school. So let's say signs, you know, don't prevent creeps from entering the women's restroom. Let's say that's what happens. Okay, then what's your objection between anybody having that restroom? So if the demographic is transgender people and they have a higher rate of violence, well, we need that information first. Because I can go to a female's restroom and I assure you, no one's going to be hurt. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
But I'm not a creep.
And also, have you ever been in a gas station? There's two restrooms. The men's taken. He's been in there too long. Nobody's in the women's. Yeah. I've ran in there.
Yes. Yes. But this
I had no ill intent.
Right. But I've heard ladies talk about their concerns with this. And it isn't necessarily the creep vibe or necessarily the violence or whatever, although that's part of it. From what I understand, it has to do with they're comfortable or not. And I would argue you're not comfortable with it because it's not part of the norm.
Yes.
So the problem is the first generation where this begins is going to be uncomfortable for all the ladies, which is how do you address that? So the word force or mandate would be my issue because it's tough.
Wow.
Need more information.
And that's the key, more information.
Information is key.
Okay. Rock, you know so much about the law and you've studied. I want you to tell us how you feel about the border situation, the 1.5 million that have come across. We got 18,000 U.S. border people. Now, that's all of America, 18,000. And even if they were all standing down there when that 1.5 million came across, be slightly outnumbered. So how do you feel this administration has handled this current crisis or anything they've done over the past 8 months? And
well, I'm not going to criticize any one
person.
Administration.
Oh,
they all have done equally.
To lead to this point.
Well, just to keep it going. I mean, the best program so far has probably been under Obama with a DACA. And that's probably the best program yet, is DACA. I don't know what the argument is, pro or con for DACA, but my argument is, when you have something that's out of control, drugs, overdoses, immigration, I know Republicans don't like the word immigration because they're not immigrating, because that's a legal term, meaning you're going through the legal process to become, you know, a citizen. You know, you're getting a green card and going through immigration to check in to do applications, right? So let's just say you're being, you know, there's what they are is aliens. That's just the truth, because that's how the government identifies you as an alien if you're coming across, right? Because you're alienating the process of immigration.
Mm-hmm.
Can you stop it? Yes or no? And the answer is no. Because if the answer is yes, then it's solved, right? But it's not solved. So the answer is no. Just like drugs. So what do you do about that? Well, you need to gain whatever control over that mechanism as much as possible. So what you need is, if you can't enforce that, right, then you need to get the other side to come to the table. We got the Taliban sitting with Donald Trump negotiating Afghanistan. But we can't get these illegals. Why is that? Well, we haven't invited them with a negotiation tool. So, gain control. Here's how you gain control. I give you some, I get some. I scratch your back, you scratch my back.
A trade.
So, one of the ideas I would have would be, and I'm not saying this is the right idea, I'm not saying I even agree with it, but it's one that I have. So, I'm not attaching myself to it. So, let's say the president gets on TV and says, hey, you came here illegally. Nothing we can do about that because we can't track you down. We don't know who you are. So here we go. Here's my proposal to you. You go to your local BMV. You get an ID. Right? We give you an ID. This way, from the government's point of view, and from America's citizens' point of view, this would be a great gain. Why? Because now you can ID somebody with an address, a name, and a photo. Weight, height, body type, eye color, hair color. Now I can ID you in the event that you get into a car crash or murder my family. Information. That's information. Number one most important thing on the planet is information. If you don't have that ID, you are literally anonymous in the same way that people are anonymous on the internet. You can't track those people down. Exactly. Where they live at. I don't know what state to begin at. I have no idea. So here it is. We will give you temporary status. Get your ID, get your driver's license. 5 years, no crime, citizenship. That's the incentive. If you're willing to do that, you're probably a good guy. We need incentive, and it must be a negotiating tool. I'm not saying that's the only plan. I have others, but that's one that seems fun, but friendly. You know, if you've been here for 30 years, you came across illegally 30 years ago, here's your incentive. But it must be acted upon probably by Congress and not the president, because anything the president does can be reversed by the next president. So it needs to be rock solid, much more than Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, which was reversed too. It's no longer mandated that you have insurance through the Affordable Care Act because of Trump. Now, I'm not taking a position pro or con, okay? I'm just saying it was reversed with one president. This action must be so concrete it can't be reversed by a president. That's a negotiating tool that guarantees our safety, security, and yours as well.
And you know, the melting pot that we are is why our country is great. As I can't think of another country in the world I'd rather be. Yeah. Is all I'm saying. Yeah. You know, visit, yeah, sure. But to live and be a citizen, America, only for me.
Yeah.
And if
you're not like a big Second Amendment guy, where you're going to use your gun on a regular basis,
uh-huh.
I would argue that America is not number one. It would be, for example, if you want to move somewhere easy to get to, Mexico. There's parts of Mexico where it's super friendly.
Uh-huh.
You ever look at retirement homes in Mexico?
The prices.
Astoundingly beautiful.
And
crime rate is nothing. White people retire there all the time.
Uh-huh.
That's the place to live at. Fuck America.
Uh-huh.
But if you want your Second Amendment, or you can go there and do your Second Amendment illegally.
I like having my guns.
I do too.
It makes me feel comfortable. Great equalizer.
Yes, it is. Especially when you have the, for me, I got the wife at home. She needs to defend that, my castle, our Absolutely. Castle. So, yeah.
But yeah, I agree. And I've been to Mexico. I mean, just the vacation
Let me reverse the question. Okay. What's your answer to the border crisis?
I think that, like with the Haitians just recently, mm-hmm. they've been given a certain freedom of exile from, they left Haiti. Mm-hmm. Some of them 5-10 years ago. Mm-hmm. Now, they've been living in South America and several different countries in South America. Why now? I mean, why the explosion now? Mm-hmm. I mean, good golly, there had to be 30 to 50,000 total Haitian population, and they managed to work this out where they all converged from these 7 or 8 different countries yeah. at one time. What is behind that?
See, that's the information you need to have before you say that's a good or bad decision.
Yeah, I'm not saying yeah. it's good or bad, but it's right. like, how in the hell did they pull that off?
Right.
And that they came from 7 different countries where they'd been living in for years.
Right.
And treated as, you know, well, we understand you're going through strife in your country, so
right.
yes, you may stay here. This was south of 7 different south.
Well, can we also recognize that the problem that occurs, whether it be in Venezuela or whether it be in Cuba or wherever is that, is in part America's fault?
Absolutely. Because we have put our thumb
yeah.
on so many lesser countries are not as advanced.
Venezuela is criticized for its socialism, and it's not working. Why is it not working? We won't stop the imports and exports there. We keep preventing them from having successful socialism. I'm not a socialist, but I am a socialist to a degree, like all of us are. My co-driver, super right-wing Republican, right? But he's okay with socialism roads, socialism police, socialism fire department. He's okay with that. Oh, that's fine. I'm like, Okay. All right. So you got your line there. Why is that different than my line? You know, I don't know. I don't identify as Democrat or Republican because both sides, they're both snakes.
Same here.
They're all corporatists.
Yes. And so I try to gather as much information as I can, and it seems like I always end up voting wrong anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's always the lesser of two evils.
That's what it is.
It's not, you know, two...
Yeah.
Two great guys. Golly, we're going to be fine as long as one of them.
Nobody with a brain cell voted for Trump or Biden. I mean, with the purpose of that being a great guy, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
It was the lesser of two evils,
yeah.
The two administrations.
Yeah.
And it felt, okay, like Herschel Walker is one of my favorite football players, but that's not the reason why I like him. If you ever hear him talk, mm-hmm. he has this gentleness about him, this beast of a man.
Yeah.
And I know he outworked, like you. You probably have outworked every teammate you've ever had. It's just in you. You just outwork people. And he had that same thing as a football player. And now he's running for representative in Georgia. And his What do I like about him? I won't be able to vote for him, citizen of Ohio. I trust him.
Mm-hmm.
I never trusted Trump. I never trusted Biden. But I had to, you know, I had to do this.
Yeah.
And
let's touch on that again for one more time. Because uh-huh. I just can't say it enough. The truth controlled by government. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Is the government known to lie?
Oh.
Okay. So the truth can be a lie, right?
Yes.
So when the truth can be a lie sometimes, I'll say sometimes to be generous, okay? And then that truth is passed on to media. So then we call news fake news. Why? Well, we're blaming the messenger unless it's commentary, and commentary is entertainment, right?
Right.
So we need to be careful who we blame. This is the argument that I have with a lot of Republicans, is because they get their information. Information number one is key. Information from media. I won't even name the source. We know where it comes from. They believe it. The word believe, again, is something you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So they believe it. right out of the gate. Here's what they don't do. Whitehouse.gov. Read what Biden actually did. They don't do it. Never met one that did. That's where the news gets their information from. That's where when I do news in my hometown, that's where I get information. I go to Kirksville.com or .gov or whatever. I think it's .com actually. And then I go to Kirksville's website. I can read the council minutes. I forget her position, but either the physical officer or the administrator or whomever, Lacey is the lady I talk to in my hometown, and I email her once a week. Can you please send me the council recording, audio recording, from this date? 9/20/2021 was the latest one. And she'll email me the audio. I will then turn the audio into an advertisement for my AOK power washing and other village and county information to help inform my own people, right? And then I'll upload it to YouTube, sometimes on Spotify, and then I'll share it on my Kirksville News Facebook page that has close to 2,100 people that follow me on there. Right? So there, you don't get news. What you get is literally the conversation that council had about legislation. Now, it doesn't get viewed a lot, but it does get, 50 to a couple hundred views every week. If I have time, I will listen to that, and I will write about it to break it down. And then I'll post it. And people enjoy that. What they don't enjoy is whenever I have my opinion. And I've had I got strong opinions on a few subjects. Because I do believe in news being the way it should be. Non-entertaining.
Yes.
Because I'm not making money on it. Right. I have no incentive anyway.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
But I will criticize certain subjects that should never... When I feel like you violate the Constitution, my opinion becomes something that matters all of a sudden. And I get criticized for it, and I got no problem being criticized for it. It's mostly hate, I call it criticism, but uh-huh. I try to view things through criticism.
Uh-huh.
That way I want to be a better person. But anyway, yeah.
You are satisfied with the Constitution and the way it was written?
No.
No.
It's terrible.
All men created equal at the time.
Which is okay. Let's say that's true, right? Because truth is deemed by government, mm-hmm. right? Then why do we have the 14th Amendment? Which reiterates equal rights for everybody. It's redundant. The 9th and 10th Amendment, redundant. Overreach of power. Why is that? That's because we shouldn't trust our government because they like to overreach power.
And they had to, this wasn't enough. This wasn't enough, it seems, as they piled on the amendments.
Yes.
That's not enough. That's not enough.
We have 27 currently. 27 amendments.
To the original Constitution.
Yeah. The original, the Bill of Rights, you have 10.
This was the one on definitions. Oh, definitions to the amendments, 4th, 10th, 13th, 14th, that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia. When actual service in time. What's your question? And something to do with California taking people out of homes and put migrants in them. Okay, that's where I was going. Okay, there was a situation where homeless in California were removed, and I don't even know if you know about this, but and migrants were given that housing. And so, homeless out to the street, American citizens, and Rocky, in one of my YouTube videos, I invited all homeless people to go down to that southern border because you get your free three squares and clean shower and some kind of shelter where you don't have to sleep in a tent.
Right.
I mean, we're giving it to people that aren't American citizens.
Right, exactly.
And so I said...
It isn't like you got to provide ID to get it. People are silly.
And the homeless situation, there was a 500,000 of them prior to this new administration, some 8 months ago. And now I consider all of those people came across the border. They don't have a home, not a permanent home, not, you know, they're homeless too. So now we're really at 2 million homeless.
Yeah, but the truth is you don't get constitutional rights until you're on the land.
Okay.
That's why, for example, Osama bin Laden was able to leave the country on 9/11 because he had constitutional rights, because he wasn't charged with anything, so he was able to exercise his First Amendment right and leave freely. If you're, it doesn't matter if you're a citizen, you have constitutional rights in this country just by being here. And people don't know that, I think.
And I didn't know that, but.
Well, even this though, this is why we put terror. I don't want to call them terrorists. Suspected terrorists in Guantanamo, because that's one place. It's an American-controlled territory where we can legitimately not give them counsel, rights, constitutional rights, and then torture them.
And they've been there a long time.
Yeah, I think we got like 61 still there, something like that. But yeah, that's the only reason why we were there. That's why we put Osama bin Laden in the ocean. After we murdered him, because when they brought him to the States, we got legal issues. It's all about legal. Money controls it, legal controls it, information controls it.
Over the past, since COVID-19, there's been a shift of some couple of trillion dollars that went to the upper 1% of our wealthiest.
Yeah.
And there's really only, you know, there's only like 5,000 billionaires.
Mm-hmm.
Until I did some research, I thought there was many of them. I was surprised at such a low number, something, you know, a number that can fit in my small head.
Right.
You know.
Are you referring to the CARES Act where they transfer the most money to the wealthiest ever before?
Yes.
A record amount of money?
Yes.
Now, from what I understand, that was, and see, that's where we trust the wrong people. We entrusted these private institutions to distribute money to people who suffered COVID losses through lack of employment. Did they do it? No.
And then in 2008, I lost almost 15%. Of my 401k.
Mm-hmm.
And I think most every market, every working man and woman lost 10%. They just kind of skimmed 10% off the top.
Mm-hmm.
Now, then you had banks presidents that failed.
Yeah.
Get $30 million bonuses.
Yeah.
And of course, then they laid off people that was down below them, you know. Yeah. But it just seemed like in 2008, there needed to be an adjustment, and the upper 1% needed 10% of mine, and I think most every working man. Now, it's come back, but not the original.
Well, your point is, that doesn't make it right. It doesn't ever come back. It doesn't make it right. Yeah. That's your criticism of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, the problem there is, how do they campaign? They need money to campaign. They got to make the rich happy.
Rocky, that was... around 30,000 for me. No, doesn't sound like anything. It's a drop in a bucket to the upper 1%. But that was earned money, planned earned money. And then something else that bothers me is my earned income. It gets taxed. I put it in a savings account. That gets taxed. And so I'll be honest with you, I try to give cash in most transactions, especially amongst my kind.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I don't want them to get taxed again on shit that's already been taxed twice that I know of.
Right.
You know, I earned it, it's taxed. I put it in the bank, it's taxed.
Exactly.
Are you shitting me?
Yeah.
Why am I putting it in the bank? It's all, but I got to go with the system.
Right.
I can't get out of the system. I can't escape it. Rocky, I always finish up with saying that all lives matter, especially yours, and our breath is our spirit, and our spirit is our breath. Would you give us a moment of enlightenment that you'd like to share with us?
I would say be more kind. Understand you will never know enough, but you need to recognize that 10 years ago you made a lot of stupid decisions, and so you don't repeat those. To be patient and cautious and kind, because in 10 more years you're going to think back on this day and be like, I shouldn't have done that. So be careful judging those who are younger than you, because every generation will complain about the other generation, older and younger. Once upon a time, you were the younger, and eventually you're going to be the older. You're going to be judged either way. We should pass less judgment on generations. Because we all work with what we got, and what information we have, we conduct our business. Yeah. Not everybody had a mom and dad. Not everybody had religious fanatics in their own family. So I'd say be more kind. Mm.
Rocky Chevalier Sr., I love you. I loved you since the day I met you. I'll love you till the day I die. I just think you're one of the great men in my life, and I've met many. But I just adore you, and if you ever need anything, don't be afraid to ask. I just love the dickens out of you. Folks, you met my hero, Rocky Chevalier Sr. I hope it was entertaining for you. I did the best I could. I'm not a professional. He is. Thank you, Rocky.
Hey, thank you.